I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Did they do that one? Is that common?
Yeah, that's them.
It's like gold dust, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. What a chaotic weekend of football. It's Monday, 20th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm the Deacon Antaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hey, everybody. It's your happy Monday people. Good to have you with us. Whoa, blimey. Let us breathe for a moment.
What a busy weekend of silly football. Being silly. You've had your computer on for too long and things just start slowing down, doing weird stuff. And you're like, I'm probably going to have to reset. If someone's finished this bit of work, I'm going to reset the computer.
Yeah. Is this all because of didn't get a proper winter break because of the World Cup?
I just think football needs to update its drivers.
Right, okay. But certain individuals do. I think we can agree on that. Jim Campbell, let's start with you before we get to the madness, or we may even include the madness in your highlight of the weekend.
It very much sort of does. My highlight of the weekend was Jack Grealish posting a post on his Instagram story, lovely Jack, where he was drinking tea from a mug that featured a cartoon of Nathan Ake with tits. It says on it, Nathan Ake with tits. It's from a company called Footballers with Tits, who, if you want, will make you a mug featuring a footballer with tits. Mm. Really odd.
Have you got shares in that company?
That was so big. That was such a big kind of a Twitter experience, like about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Is that right? I don't remember that.
It was quite good.
He's so gloriously simple, isn't
he? He really is.
And because there's a level of like.
You're talking about Jack Grealish.
Not
being able to draw Nathan Ake.
Yeah. But it's just that. It's not at this point. It's not stupidity, is it? Mm. It's just blissful ignorance.
It's a sense of wonder, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine he just spends like if he sees a moth in his house, that's him for the day.
Yeah,
just not wanting to kill it, not wanting to get rid of it, not worrying about his clothes, just following it around.
Gaffer, I can't come into trading today.
There's a moth in my house.
There's a butterfly that looks like a geography teacher. I'm fascinated.
There's such a smooth brainness about it, isn't there? It's like a precious,
lovely, smooth brain.
You know he's not entirely sure that Muppets aren't real.
Oh, Pete Donaldson.
My highlight was Elliot Anderson scoring a goal until he didn't get that goal.
Yeah.
And just seeing everyone, you know, Dan B., One of the long staffs, I think someone else who's also a Newcastle supporter, just enjoying Elliot Anderson scoring a football goal.
Yeah.
and then getting that football goal taken off him for no fucking reason.
Oh, right.
Rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have a go at the
That's your highlight.
That's my highlight. Yeah, because he's been knocked.
Protest
he's
highlight.
He's hit the post. He's kind of flashed one wide. He's been really... He's one of those sort of players who won't be here like in a year's time, obviously.
What do you know?
Because he's he's a local lad. He's come through the system, and he's one of the few kind of youth team highlights of the past 5 years. Mm. And he just got he just keeps on trying his best.
Yeah,
and he just wants that goal.
Indeed. So sod him, right?
Indeed.
He won't be here for long.
Yeah, won't be here for long.
Let's
enjoy
hope he gets
it, mate.
His goal before he sods off. Vish.
Mine is just wonderful, really, amid all the madness of the weekend. David Brooks making his comeback to football. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma in October 2021, got the all clear in May 2022, came back. Obviously, Bournemouth were beaten by Aston Villa, but got a lovely reception from the Villa Park faithful, and it's pretty cool. And it's just, this is going to sound a bit Jack Grealish-y, but I'm just constantly in wonder at modern medicine. And just I'm very happy for him, and what an incredible story. It's exactly the kind of story that you don't hear enough of, and the fact that he's playing back at elite level is wonderful.
No, I think it's a lovely highlight, Vish, and you win the round.
Yes.
I didn't realise it was a competition.
Neither did I. Oh,
take your fucking table, Jimmy Tooby. There you go.
My highlight of the weekend, and of course it was the story of the match, was Mitrovic scoring his first goal in the FA Cup.
Good
poacher's
stuff.
Finish. There we are. Yes, let's go to it then. Manchester United 3, Fulham 1. Fulham ended the game with 9 players and no manager after the referee showed 3 red cards in the space of 40 seconds.
Your tone is so appropriate there because you read it like a news bulletin.
It was dispassionately.
Utterly, utterly mental.
Yeah. What a shame. What a shame. I will be shouting for Brighton in the semi-final. it is genuinely the old adage of the hope that kills you. Because if that's...
No, it's not. You were the best team comfortably for about 73, 75 minutes.
Hence the hope.
But there was that's not hope.
That's hope coming true. Because you think to yourself, hang on a minute, we've got a chance here. You know, you're suddenly like, whoa, we could get into the next round. Fulham could get there. Whereas in the lead up to the game, I was just saying, well, Manchester United will win this game. Obviously, I was annoyingly proved right. But that's it. When I say the hope, it gives you the hope that you're gonna go through. That's what I mean. Whereas if it's a regular, you know, if Manchester United are leading or 3-1, or even if it's a league game or something, you just think, bollocks, you know, whatever. But the fact is, you know, I've been banging on about the Fulham have never won a major trophy in their history, neither have Brighton, so, you know, all the best to them. And history is there. History was beckoning. You know, Silva had obviously got the players very focused. Palhinha coming back in the side makes a huge difference. And you could see the level of performance. They go a goal up. It's there. The semi-final, you got one foot in the semi-final. And as soon as the penalty is given, it's effectively gone. Because Willian will then be sent off. And it's effectively gone, but not completely gone. When Mitrovic is sent off, it's gone.
Yeah.
Because Bruno Fernandes is going to score that penalty all day long. They're down to 10 men. And you think, well, but you know, stranger things have happened. With 10 men, there's a flicker. It may just be a flicker, but that flicker was blown out by Mitrovic being an absolute idiot. His first red card for Fulham, I might add, by the way. But yeah. That was his sixth sending off in his career, which obviously is a fair few. But he's not been that radgy for Fulham. No. Like people think he's a
tough player, isn't he?
But yeah, he's aggy. But that, you know, he's played for Fulham for a number of seasons. As
he's
I say, that's
the right side of crazy. But
just about. Yeah.
I mean, that aside from the, you know, starting a fight after a yoga session.
You weren't there.
That's right. Soon after that, Mitro wasn't for a bit.
He summons the spirit of Limmy.
Yeah.
Don't back doing double Limmy. You only there.
is it just me who thinks it isn't that bad?
What, with the referee?
I was at my mum and dad's for Mother's Day because I'm a good son, right? So I'm only so much of a good son because we did watch the first half with my dad. But he turned it over. I was like, all the good stuff's happened at the bit I've missed.
Mm. Yeah.
The reports made it sound like he's like pile driver, the referee. I was actually really disappointed seeing it.
Well, I don't think
is this the modern Di Canio? Not at all.
It's the Cantona. We were talking about when my dad on the Cantona guide tour that we did. Doing the Kung Fu kick. I spoke about my dad the day after the Brit Awards, where Jarvis Cocker got on stage and flashed his bum or whatever. My dad reported it like he was high on drugs and punched a kid. Like this. If you read the reports, it's like, oh my God, like he's done something, he's flipped the guy up and Stone Cold Steve Austin'd him.
Exactly. He just shoves him a little bit, doesn't he? It's going to be a rape.
Well, Chris Sutton saying it should be a 10 match ban. It's just shocking. It's just, I think
that's what you want, isn't it? The moment Chris Sutton says something like that, it loses all credibility.
It'd probably be reduced
on appeal now. apology and everything. Yeah,
he was sent off because of the stature of the man. Yeah,
the stature.
Yeah, yeah. If that's a smaller player, I don't think there's a level of intimidation there.
The way that
Mitro carries on. There's a really interesting side point about all this in terms of players being judged on their size and also the tone when they speak to referees. Now, Mitro, in his broken English and particularly in his accent, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets, you know, a lot shorter rope than
and his reputation,
players.
Of course.
Yeah. Because Bruno, you know, I do love Bruno, but his carry-on is comical and he rarely gets pulled up for it because there's an element of, like, kiddishness about it. Like, he's, like, tugging on his balls when he has a go at the referee.
So we need to check the referee's pants.
Yeah.
If it's Brown Town, you're going off. If it's clean as a daisy.
Do we need a camera in there? Is that VAR?
we need VAR, don't we? But then it's just more human error, isn't it? You're getting another man to judge another man's pants.
Pant cam. No, this is awful. But with Mitrovic, I think that the hectic nature of the situation, you know, would have added. There's all sorts of things, but I mean, for me personally, no problem with him being sent off. The fact that he makes physical contact with the referee. You just cannot have that. I just, to me, I'm quite intrigued about the Marco Silva sending off. Silva's obviously let himself down there. As a manager, you shouldn't be giving the referee an opportunity to send you off. And Silva himself said, look, if I've come out of my technical area, I accept it. If I've done this, I accept it. But he seemed to be not sure why. But the thing is, Silva's kind of, you know, he's the manager and he said this, I kind of lead the team out and all that sort of stuff. Well, not on the pitch, of course, but he's the bloody manager. And when Silva does that and the referee goes a quick red, I think that kind of inflames the situation, rightly or wrongly. And I wonder if Mitrovic gets sent off if Silva doesn't get sent off, because it's all gone then. It's just like the idea of, you know, as I said, history beckoning, semi-final possibly, all that kind of stuff. It's people feel, oh, it's going, I have to, and then it's completely gone because of the stupidity.
The thing that I found most surprising about it, certainly at the time and also in hindsight, is Fulham were in such control that they felt emotionally in control. If you think about how
it was a very good performance for 75 or 72 minutes.
Yeah, and it relied on the fact that they had to make clear-headed decisions all the way through. Mm. They moved the ball better than Manchester United, quicker than Manchester United.
Yeah.
They were more sensible in possession than Manchester United. And at that stage, the United fans were booing the United players. Mm. The atmosphere was terrible.
Yeah.
It was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And there was a moment when Sancho brings the ball inside, having gone past the keeper, where you could see people in the Stretford end shouting at him to put it in. And if Sancho actually equalises it, or rather chips it past the keeper and puts it in, Fulham probably end up winning that game, even though it's 1-1.
Well, maybe.
There was this incredible sliding doors moment here. But to go back on how composed they were, it was madness how they capitulated at that point. Because it felt so... Because even the manner of the original red card was so clear-cut. Couldn't really get annoyed by it.
That's what's so interesting about it. I mean, it's taken the heat off Willian, actually, for that decision, isn't it? I mean, it's that or concede, really, but still.
Well, it's funny, actually. A couple of Man United supporting mates of mine messaged me saying, I think that's a harsh penalty given.
You think?
They did. I was a bit surprised. To me,
of us are dumb as hell.
Neither of them are Chris Sutton. but I think it's because one of them said, where's he meant to put his arm? I mean, but the rule is it doesn't matter how close your arm is to your body if you move it towards the ball, which it looked like he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have an ounce of sympathy, but for me, it's one of those ones where it's a shame Willian goes off. I wouldn't be particularly angry. I don't think it was a stupid handball, if you see what I mean. But
he was excellent, by the way.
He was, yeah. I know, but and I think that's the thing. I think that's why they were so upset, and so it just shattered everything. Because again, it's like right away to Old Trafford in the quarterfinal of the cup. In the next round, there's a team who probably slightly better than Fulham at the moment, Brighton, you would say, but it is a winnable tie, and who knows. And suddenly you think, ah, this is slipping, it's going away. And I actually think Silva's the one who lets them down getting that red card. Because you said about on the pitch they were controlled, they were this, that and the other. Yeah, absolutely. But Silva's the one who starts that nonsense. You know, Willian, that's a red card, and we see those kind of things. And if he panicked or a natural movement towards whatever, those like impulses can happen. Whereas Silva, I think, has been a bit silly there.
Has he done that before this season?
Marco Silva?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
because it felt like...
He can be unnecessarily a little bit... He can be a bit feisty, which you wouldn't think. I mean, I saw them against Wolves the other week, and he was really going off at one of the Wolves players. And that Wolves player who was giving it back, Andres Pereira, like moments after that, then kind of goes through the back of him as if to, you know, put one in for the manager. Yeah. And he may have got a booking, he may not. But you see what I mean, though, and there's a little, maybe there's a tiny undercurrent there, because he's got the players on side. They are following his instruction. He is getting a level of performance out of these players that nobody thought. So perhaps, you know, he kind of, by his own admission, has sort of started that sort of chain of events. But yeah, it's madness. But you know, Manchester United will now face Brighton in the semi. I mean, we could talk about this all day, but, you know, it's a moment of madness. Fulham played well. Doesn't mean anything anymore. It's gutting. And I think
it's classic referee's favourite Man United, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I think that the really frustrating thing from a Fulham fan's point of view is those moments where Fulham find themselves in a quarterfinal are very rare, because they haven't been a Premier League club for a while, you know, consistently for a little while. And even when they were, quarterfinal FA Cup is still often not achieved. You're 1-0 up against Manchester United at Old Trafford. You're going through, you're looking good. Mm. Okay, Manchester City are there. Come on, I understand all that. But
nice to be at Wembley, though, wouldn't it?
It would, lovely. I mean, you were guaranteed
one Championship team. Obviously, you weren't, you know, it's not on that side of the draw, but with Sheffield United and Blackburn, you were guaranteed one Championship team. And...
Well, they've got Man City, of course.
Yeah. But in terms of like in the quarterfinal stage, we've got.
Exactly, yeah. So it's kind of there. And those moments. You know, Pete knows as being a Newcastle fan, you know, how, I mean, Newcastle are a bigger club than Fulham.
Don't,
you know,
bring him into it.
No, but obviously at the moment with Newcastle, you would expect them to kind of go on and reach maybe some more finals, and there's perhaps a little bit more hope there.
But it can take, wallet can handle it, to be honest.
But it can take 20 years to get back to this level. Or I mean, they didn't even get to the semi-final, you know, and I think that's the bitterly frustrating thing, is it was there for the taking, and it completely got in and same old story.
Our teams have won it loads, didn't they, Vish?
Yeah.
it's wicked, isn't it?
Yeah.
You should try it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Record appearances in the semi-final, another earned bit of status for us.
Well, indeed. But Man City will probably do the double now, I hope. I'm on side, Vish. You're right. But Man United will face Brighton, and Manchester City will face Sheffield United, who themselves were involved in a bloody excellent FA Cup.
So good.
Ali McCoy's just, he loves life, and he couldn't believe he's lucky he was at that game. I could do with another half an hour of this, he said. You know, he's probably a bit annoyed that Doyle one crashed in. Were you?
Yeah, I wanted, exactly as Ali McCoy said, I just want to see more of it. I mean, it's a brilliant ending to it.
Yeah.
But what a game, Jim. I mean,
it was really beautifully end-to-end. Mm-hmm. And just some lovely, lovely football on display. And you could just sense how much it meant to both of these teams, because obviously it's... to get that far is amazing when there's so much sort of top quality opposition that you can run into on the way. And it was a proper ding dong. And I mean, the finish at the end, beautiful.
Yeah, and it's the magic of the cup is all about Doyle being ineligible for the semi final against his parent club, Manchester City. Yeah.
Well, his grandparent club, because both of his granddads played for Man City
as well. Nice. Right, like okay. It was a great game. You're gutting for Blackburn, because again, these two sides, you think to yourself, you're quarter final, you've got a place at Wembley there for the taking. Mm. One of them's always going to be disappointed. You know, two Championship sides, and it's been a while. I think 2015 was the last time we saw a Championship side in the semi final of the FA Cup. So it's pretty big stuff, you know.
What a gutting way for Blackburn to lose that, though. Yeah. Yeah. I feel so bad for them because they've had a weird Jekyll and Hyde season in the Championship. They're fifth somehow, despite having lost 14 games. They've only drawn four times, and I think their first draw came maybe like 20 games into the season.
Well, they do play like 14 games a month in the
Championship.
Yeah, I think with the winner, I think the keeper possibly, if he was sighted, would have stopped that.
I thought that.
Yeah, he just got a good hand on it. I know what you mean. I think the keeper might be...
I think he saw it quite late through a bit of a sea.
I don't think it's necessarily like a proper error or something, but from the keeper's point of view, if you get a hand on that, then he might be a touch disappointed. I mean, there was some good goalkeeping throughout the game, as there was a quick mention for David De Gea, who had a great game, we should say. But yeah, Sheffield United are into the semi-final, rewarded with a tie against Manchester City. You know, do we give them much hope at all?
Well, no, because not only they're without Joe, I think they're without James McCatty
as well.
There
is another player, I couldn't think of his name.
Which is, you know, you said it at the start, really. Like, nothing skewers or, you know, bursts that bubble quite like, well, no, those two can't play because we actually own them and you know, they're actually on loan and, you know, you have to borrow from us because we have all the wealth.
We'll tell you who your starting 11 is.
Yeah. And also, the thing with City as well is like, you look at a fixture like this and you think, oh, maybe Sheffield United could get a sucker punch in there, or City won't kind of, they'll put out a sort of slightly weakened team. But like, City don't really have a weakened team.
No, no.
They are built to sort of fight on all fronts and they take these games seriously. So it's going to be a really tough afternoon, I think.
And obviously you mentioned that you'd quite like Man City to win the league now, Vish. Would you quite like to see them beat Sheffield United as well?
Yeah, it'd be quite nice to beat them in the final.
I fancy Brighton for the semi.
Man City obviously put Burnley to the sword 6-0. Guardiola continued his campaign for Vincent Kompany to manage Man City one day. However, Kompany said, he has to stop saying it. I'm a Championship manager. I don't know what you want from me.
It's just turning. Yeah. Everyone's turning on Pep. Going, stop saying nice things about me.
Stop calling me. It's 3 a.m.
Is Pep doing that? You know, when Boris Johnson was leader, forgive me for getting political, and he would promote people who weren't that good.
Right.
So he would maybe look...
Wonder where
he
got that from.
He would not look as shit. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe he would prolong his time. Now, clearly, Pep is very, very, very good. But is Pep thinking, you know what? People have sort of maybe the future and so on. I want a legacy here.
Do you think you're going to do a Ferguson and Moyes?
Maybe there's perhaps a better comparison, actually. Maybe there's something in that. And the company's just not having any of it. Mm. Not having any of it, Jim, is he?
No.
No. Burnley assistant manager Craig Bellamy has been speaking about his relationship with Vincent Kompany. He said, he speaks five languages. I barely speak one. We are opposites on a lot of stuff in life, but we speak the same language in football.
He has to become assistant manager at Man City. He just has to.
Yeah. Well, it knows the club, Jim. Maybe he could be the number one. But maybe that's it. If he wanted to do the Boris Johnson routine, he'd have Bellamy as the number one. And then go, all right, I'll take it from here then. But yeah, so 6-0, I mean, a proper gubbing. I mean, Burnley, as we know, are having a great season. But yes, we can't blame them for losing that one. Of course, it was the biggest shellacking in the FA Cup on the weekend. I mean, Brighton did put Grimsby to the... I was going to say sword. I was trying to think of a fish. What would you put the fish?
The swordfish. They put them to the swordfish.
Put them to the swordfish.
Come on, Marcus. This is like kindergarten level.
They gutted the...
there you go. That's fine. 5-0. They beat the Haddocks.
They did.
And...
God,
what a game, Jim! De Zerbi said, we can visit Wembley like tourists or we can go to try and win.
How do you feel about that, Vish? Man United hate it when teams try.
Oh, no, I thought you just meant more people coming to tourists to London. I was going to say, fuck off.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's bloody annoying, that.
Don't like outsiders,
no,
do you?
No, no.
So,
I just want to hear the English language when I come to London, yeah?
But Brighton versus Manchester United, that's a little bit more of a I was going to say poised.
Well, it's nicely balanced, though.
Balanced
isn't it?
Is the word.
Yeah, the seasons they've had and where they are in the league.
Especially
neutral venue.
Yeah, the result at the start of the season as well. That was quite
of course,
one.
Yeah.
I think it's quite... So United could potentially play 19 games between now and the end of the season. And they're like a necessary 19 games because they, you know, they speak of success being through to the FA Cup final, through to the Europa League final as well. I'm amazed they got through that game yesterday against Fulham because there's an element of them running on fumes. And I think the international break comes at a perfect time, provided no one gets injured.
But, yeah, it's a funny one, that, isn't it? Everyone's looking at the international break as a break, but it's like, well, no, all of these players are going to go.
They're playing
play
on
elsewhere.
Thursday.
They've just got loads of flights as well.
Yes, yeah. but no, both ties in their own way are fascinating because, I mean, if you're Sheffield United, you've got fuck all to lose.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Apart from the game,
which and some dignity.
Yeah, and also it's a lot of money to get FA Cup tickets and come down to London. The trains will probably be fucked as well. So, but other than that, nothing to lose.
Throw the tie. Yeah. You've done it once. Why on earth would you want to put yourself through that again?
Got a feel for Grimsby in this game, going down so early. Mm. And you want them to score a goal, really, and not lose in the way they did. I'm sure that everyone involved was still delighted to be in an FA Cup quarterfinal, and I'm sure they enjoyed it. To some degree, but that's the last way that you want it to happen.
Jim, I want a prediction from you. Who's going to win the FA Cup?
Manchester City will beat Brighton in the final. I think Brighton have got enough about them to carry on their good form into Wembley.
The magic of the cup.
Are you done with the FA Cup now?
Yes. Why?
No, it's just you seem very, understandably, very down about it.
That was next year, Marcus.
And it's always next year or the year after. And we could go on and on. Before we go for a break, gentlemen, talking of, magic of FA Cup, magic of football and so on, did you see the scenes in Hungary? I think it was a second tier game where a goalkeeper, they did a little, they had a child come onto the pitch to sort of have a few shots at goal and whatnot. And the kid had two shots on goal and the goalkeeper saved them both.
Yeah, two immense booing and whistling from the crowd.
And he hit the ball as hard as he could as well. Yeah. He wasn't just pissing about.
Do you think he's teaching the child important life lessons?
It seems that way. To be fair to the kid, when he saves the first one, he doesn't falter at all, does he?
No.
He just goes and picks the ball up again, has another crack.
Right, yeah. I
was in hysterics when he ran back to the halfway line because... He even the kid had quite an adult face on him. He was like, "Well, that didn't go as I planned." Didn't think that would happen.
My celebration I was practicing earlier that's wasted. Yeah.
Also, he's invited. So he's invited him to the next game. Right?
Yeah. Well, the goalkeeper apologises. He comes
for another penalty.
I hope he saves it again.
Imagine it'd be possibly one of the greatest gags we've seen.
Runs out and claims it at his feet.
Just wipes him out,
breaks his leg.
Oh dear!
You fucking idiot! Yeah.
Well, apparently,
why do your parents
here's another
keep
life lesson?
Why do your parents keep reading? Yeah. They know what I'm going to do. You know,
I will munch you up.
I get paid for this shit.
I'm going to throw you over the crossbar. Yeah.
You not demeaning myself to this.
Oh dear.
Yeah, well, he said to the child, "We cannot wait to welcome him, his parents and his teammates. In the meantime, I wish him never to give up on his dreams and to fight for every ball as he did on Monday evening."
He's definitely going to save the next one if he invites him.
I think the kid is going to practice. He's going to go around the keeper. And he's just going to foul him. Take his legs.
Going to take his boot off and hurl it at his
little
head.
You've got a penalty. Oh, I've saved it. Up yours. There we are. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
When you're a player, and I've been involved, we didn't win the league for 30 years at Liverpool, right? Just look at me when I'm talking to you.
Who was that?
Jamie Redknapp.
Good.
To Gary Neville.
Right. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Wasn't it to Roy Keane?
No. Oh, was it to Roy? No. As if.
No.
As if.
You don't want him looking at you.
I'm pretty sure it was to Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Come on, G-Nev. Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble. As if you didn't know where you were. Premier League. Right, enough of that cup crap. Let's go to the Premier League. Southampton 3, Tottenham 3. Great game for the neutrals.
Fuck the game. Honestly.
I mean, it was an amazing game.
Six goals.
I was even thinking about that.
Last minute winner.
Equaliser.
Oh, equaliser, yeah.
Paul Prowse did say it felt like a winner.
which is why they're going to go down.
What happened, are they, Jim? They keep getting the odd result here and there. And, you know, my
Can
goodness.
I have my P45 now?
He just wants it. He just wants it.
You know ChatGPT?
Yeah.
That artificial intelligence thing online where you can give it a subject and then set your parameters. Mm. Like, you know, what would
Marcus Speller do if he was headlining Reading?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they'll play that out. And genuinely, that was you type in Tottenham press conference, but given by a lifelong Arsenal fan. Because it hit all the predictable notes about, like, history of failure, never winning anything, players not up for stuff. And that was the manager. That was the real manager.
The best thing was
he's
the real manager.
He's the real manager
with his fair hair. He didn't even speak to the players. He just went straight to the presser and slagged them off, the club off, the hierarchy off, and then later on gaslit his boss by going, "I didn't mean you."
Do you reckon
he's got to leave at any time though?
He literally had, this is the history of Tottenham, which has been a meme for the last 4 years.
Unbelievable. Do you think you found a monitor?
Pick up that big bag of money. Pick it up. I dare you, Daniel. Fucking pick it up.
Blink first. He just found a monitor, set up the stream and went, "Lads, no post-match. Just turn that on. I've got something to say to you." And he streamed the press conference, didn't he?
My highlight of the whole thing was when he'd made his case and talking about the players not, you know, responding or whatever it was he said. And one of the journalists in the room said, "Why do you think that is, Antonio?" And he went, "Why? Bah!"
Yeah, he found levels of his tone that we've not heard before. Because often in the post match, he's sort of a bit, sort of quiet and a little bit, almost a little bit croaky,
it's quiet fury,
a bit sort of, you know, he's sort of bubbling up and so on.
We all knew this was in there,
but there was always some. It was lovely intonation and sort of higher pitched tones and so on. But I mean, he called the players selfish, saying they don't want to help each other. He went after the board, saying they can change the manager, but the situation cannot change, to say these quotes. I know you've sort of said this already, chaps, but Tottenham's story, this is 20 years, there is this owner, and they have never won something. Why? I mean, after the Champions League game against Milan, where he came out and said, you know, I might be sacked by the end of the season, and he was sort of shrugging his shoulders, I thought, certainly in this country, I've seen a manager come out with that kind of stuff before. Yeah. Again, he's managed to make us think the same thing. I've never seen a manager. We've seen some madness before, but
it's a spectacular passing of the buck, really, isn't it? Because they look like a team with no leadership, and this is clearly why they look like that. Because I don't think in a situation like that, where your manager's saying things about you in that sense, how are you going to feel like you're going to pull in a positive direction? Mm-hmm. Part of it is that I don't think he's getting much out of the players they signed in the summer. Mm-hmm. They're good players. Richarlison, Perisic, Basuma, they're decent players.
Well,
they're
not getting enough from those players. He said at the end of that, he said he was happy with the squad. So you're either happy with the squad or you're not happy with the squad.
Well, is
or you're happy with the squad and you kind of want them to mark a 45-year-old Theo Walcott in the box. Yeah, I mean, that's what you want out of a team, don't
indeed.
You?
But I mean, look, they're probably about the fourth best team in England right now, aren't they? Because that's what the league table is.
Which they proved last year, which they proved in 2018-19, which they proved when they finished third in 2017-18, then they finished second in 2016-17. And so even when he was talking about, oh, you know, be a minor miracle to finish fourth, we've done it plenty of times before with other people. A lot of these same players, actually, Antonio.
Yeah. Gary Neville said that many saying Conte should go this morning. I'd keep him right where he is and make him do his job.
Why? To prove what to who?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to rub his face in it if he's not careful.
I know. I mean,
I'm going to make this smoker smoke all the cigarettes.
But the reports are saying that the Tottenham players expect him to leave in the summer before the start of next season.
Yeah.
I think we're all... Conte's pretty much said that himself. So you do think to yourself, well, should they keep it? I mean, I think for Tottenham, if they were to try and get someone else in now, it may be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. Not a knee-jerk reaction, sorry, that it may be very short-term to try and get somebody else in. If they were to appoint, say, Tuchel in the summer, you might think to yourself, why did you maybe not do that a little bit earlier? Personal circumstances that we don't know about, blah, 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 blah. But I think if this is any other club, I think he would have probably got sacked for that.
Well, I think so as well, and I think he yet might, because we've got the international break coming up. There's time for them to, you know, sort of possibly bring some plans forward. There's absolutely no way they've not been thinking about what they might do in the summer for a while, even as a contingency plan, even if they were hoping to make Conte stay. I just think there's a manager available right now who very recently had some of the best XG in Europe. He's just left Southampton under a cloud.
Get Jones in. Get him in there.
Yeah. Even as a caretaker.
They're going to get Marco Silva in the summer.
You don't think there's something to the Pochettino/Tuchel ambition?
I've just resigned to it, Jim.
Yeah? Poch signed a lot of those players as well, to be fair.
I don't think Poch is a goer at all.
You not think?
Just, well, but Luke thinks they just have to get it out of the system.
I think there might be something to that.
But if you read what a lot of people who cover Spurs are saying, that I think they're just they don't want to go back to that situation because actually a lot of the players aren't still there. A lot of the most important players from that time aren't still there. If you think of Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Kyle Walker, Eriksen, Dembele, like that's a proper spine of a proper team. Mm. They're not there. You've got to start again anyway. If you could trust a manager to kick off like that and then continue on for the rest of the season, because Spurs still have a lot to play for, then obviously you wouldn't remove him. But you can't after that. You certainly can't trust him to do the necessary job between now and the end of the season.
That's right.
Which is the reason to get rid of him.
Yeah. But the reason I think they might go back to Pochettino is they need someone who wants to be there and will stick around and will look to rebuild. And, you know, Tuchel historically doesn't really do that. Clearly, like, short-termism hasn't worked with Conte and hasn't worked with Mourinho. And, I mean, I guess I suppose Marco Silva is that sort of manager, isn't it? Where you give him a bit of time and you let him build. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's completely out of the question, out of the realms of possibility that Pochettino will return.
Well, but, you know, if Silva goes there, his first time
will
going
to
go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bollocks to all of you. James Ward-Prowse, good to see him firing in a penalty. He missed his last one, of course. And I thought to myself, are we going to see him? Because when he missed that one, I thought, well, you know where he's going to put it. He does that whip and puts it to the goalkeeper's right. Where he clearly thought, right, I'll stuff it in the top corner of the.
Against the biggest goalkeeper in the world.
Who used to be his next door neighbour, apparently. Yeah. So I did quite find it. He said, I couldn't even look at him because I thought I might laugh.
Yeah. That was great, wasn't it?
Lovely stuff.
A lovely, wholesome interview before Conte took the mic.
Indeed, yes. Well, of course, Conte wasn't the only one getting all hot and bothered on the weekend. When asked by some fans about Chelsea's 2-2 draw with Everton, owner Todd Bowley replied, "Shit fucking game."
He's got his words.
Everyone's just on one this weekend, aren't they?
An effing shit game. Do you know what I mean? That's what he should have said. But there we are. He's still adapting to the Premier League, one might say. So a point for Southampton. They're still bottom. But 2 points from safety. Okay, Leicester have got a game. Most of the sides around them have got a game in hand, but it is a very difficult one to call. And that was more evidence of that was when we saw Leeds beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 4-2 at the Molineux.
Any other week, no one would be top of the bill.
No one's predicting that, are they? I keep saying, Yeah, Wolves have got the quality, though. I think they're going to be fine. Yeah, they've lost four out of the last six. They're still 3 points above the relegation zone. But what an incredible game. I mean, Leeds, they're out of the relegation zone. They're up to 14th. Shows you what a win can do. Mm. It was a great performance. I mean, we fancied the manager to make a big difference. But, you know, four goals. I mean, my goodness, you know, some lovely ones as well. I tell you what, when Christensen came on and scored that goal, it reminded me of sort of like a young Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
You know, or something. Yeah. Just come on, just get out the way, sod off.
That's what that little kid should have done in Hungary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was, incredible. I mean, Johnny's performance kind of epitomised everything. He scores one of the goals of the season and then got sent off for a real bad. You could see he was sort of trying to. I don't think it was malicious intent, but
dispossessed in his own box at one point as well.
Yeah. Well, that was for the Christensen goal, wasn't it?
By the way, Dawson was lucky to stay on, wasn't he? My goodness. Mm. I thought that was a. I couldn't believe VAR never looked. Well, maybe they did look at it and they decided not to. You know when a player gets a booking and he just sort of almost like gives the ref a thumbs up. Yeah. No, that's fair. That is definitely fair.
I was very much skirting a line.
You're so good at your job.
Yeah. And let's never talk about any of that. It's done now. Yeah. That's done. They can't move on. Yeah, I was very, very...
You should take this free kick very quickly.
Just in case anyone has a chance.
Yeah. Julian Lopetegui wasn't happy, though, after the game. He said, you could make a book on decisions that have gone against Wolves since he took charge. Well, the Dawson one went for you. But one win in the last six for Wolves.
He does kind of have a point. You know, they've Howard Webb, his official role is chief refereeing officer.
Oh, right.
At the PGOMOL. Yeah. LOL. He's apologised to Wolves three times this season.
Has he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had some shocking decisions go against them, to be fair.
I don't think
any of them were in this game.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Dawson. Oh, no. But what about Leeds United, Vish? I mean, that is, you know, if you're down in the dumps in relegation terms, you're not scoring that many, blah, 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 a 4-2 victory is just the tonic.
For a bit, like I genuinely don't know anymore. Yeah. Like, yeah, they are out of the relegation zone. You know, they as you said, they've moved up to what is it, 14th. Mm. Still only 2 points off it.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, you know, Luke Ayling scoring a diving header here. Think your luck is starting to turn, isn't it? Things are starting to go your
Robbie
way.
Robbie Keane celebration as well from the Wolves.
Did
fans.
Enjoy that. Very likable player, Luke Ayling. Yeah, but I think of all the teams actually down there, Leeds are the one to me that look like they probably have. They're probably likely to put a run together and they look good. I think they're too good to stay in this, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's because not only do they have young players, but they're young attacking players, and they still have this air of chaos about them.
Mm. Yeah.
Like even, you know, Rodrigo's goal, the fourth goal, mm-hmm. where Wolves just stopped playing.
Yeah. Well, they wanted the foul, didn't they? And they thought, okay, this will... But no, you...
The defending was very static in the whole game.
It was. But, I mean, I said a moment ago, actually, Leeds not scoring too many goals. Actually, that's not really true, actually, compared to the sides around them. They're scoring actually quite a fair few more. The sides who aren't scoring are Palace, Wolves, Everton, Forest, and the bottom three, West Ham, Bournemouth and Southampton. You look at the goal tallies of Leicester and Leeds. Now, I know Leicester, I mean, they got a point, or they haven't won in five. But they are scoring goals, and that is usually... going to be enough if it's really tight. If you can score goals, it's such a painfully obvious thing to say. But the other sides are struggling. And Forest, who we were talking about, going, they're hitting form at the right time and so on, haven't won in their last six. They've lost four of them. I mean, they, you know, obviously took Newcastle pretty far, but didn't get anything out of the game. Mm. So it is so hard to call. You think, they're all right. No, they're dropping. Oh, they'll be all right. Oh, well, they can score goals. They're not, blah, 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 blah. It's incredible. From 12th to 20th, 4 points separate them at this stage of the season. You can't take your eyes off it, Vish.
But even as you've said there about, like, if we think, or if I think Leeds are in a better place, their next game's against Arsenal.
Yeah.
You've got West Ham playing Southampton after the international break as well. Then you've got Wolves are playing Forest.
Yeah.
And Leicester have got Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace are 12th currently. Yeah. So, like, suddenly that all, you know, it changes week to week.
It's indeed. Like, more than ever, I know we often say this, but it feels like the league is split in two, and that bottom half is just exceptionally exciting.
Yeah. There's also an interesting recalibration over the last few years. You know, everyone talks about the 40-point mark for relegation. Fulham don't even have 40 points at the moment.
Yeah, right.
And the last time 40 points was actually needed to stay up was the 2010-11 season.
Yeah, right. It's an old-fashioned viewpoint. Talking of old-fashioned things, you hear Palace might be swooping for Roy Hodgson. He could return to the nest. Because on Friday, I dismissed the idea of Hodgson returning to Palace. But it's been reported over the weekend that old Roy the boy could be in line for the job. It's believed he's in talks with Palace chiefs and that those talks have progressed well. And he's willing to return until the end of the season to keep them in the league.
I think, yeah, if it's if that's the parameters of the appointment, I think fair enough.
Makes sense.
It makes sense to kind of, you know, parachute him in. Not that an owl needs a parachute, but like, you know what I mean? To drop him in there to try and fix things. But it's a backwards looking appointment otherwise, isn't it? I know it's very difficult to you know, get someone in at this stage permanently. They'll have to rethink it in the summer.
Is this the easiest relegation escape?
Yeah,
that can ever exist, really.
Yeah,
fundamentally, functionally, like, you've got to keep us up. Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Yeah. where are we?
With my eyes closed.
I don't know. I mean, Palace, of course, lost to Arsenal at the weekend.
They did score a goal.
They did, which is quite something. They conceded four, unfortunately.
That was a problem, wasn't it?
Yeah. were Arsenal fortunate that Kim Kardashian didn't attend that match because she attended against Sporting and it didn't work out very well?
Anyone who is not in the same space as Kim Kardashian at any point is fortunate.
Very much. You watched PSG yesterday and they lost 2-0 at home.
That's right, yeah. Well, they took to Twitter to question whether old Kim was cursed because of that. And then, of course, as you say, PSG's first home defeat in 715 days.
Why is she doing the soccer tour? Why is she doing...
She had Dele Alli went and visited her in the week. She FaceTimed with
Dele Alli. I mean, yeah. I know he's been frozen out at where is he playing? Besiktas, is it? Is that why he's gone to see? He's like, well, maybe. Nothing else
yeah.
to do.
But yeah, so she posted a photo with him, and then she posted a video of FaceTiming Saka. I don't understand. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit worried. I've done so well to avoid her.
You have
and her.
To dealing with the family, right?
Yeah. Her shite. But this is annoying me, actually.
Oh, what a shame.
Well, she's gonna take over United, isn't she? For fuck's sake.
I don't know. I think do you know who I worry for? Fizzer. And the reason is because David Beckham sent Kim Kardashian a signed Inter Miami shirt during her stay in the UK.
Right.
Ooh, come and see us. He's quietly a loser, isn't he, David Beckham? he does lots of very lame things. Even when he kicked off about not getting a knighthood. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He told apologise for taking all that money. He stood in the waiting for the Queen, didn't he?
Remember Yeah.
It's a shame. I mean, the Inter Miami, of course, won their first two games of the season. Great start.
Of course,
yeah. And then they lost their two, so they're 4 points off the top. So don't derail them further.
Long way to go.
With old KK turning up, for crying out loud. Bloody hellfire. It's the last thing anybody needs. Right, apparently she's on her way to the studio. We better finish the pod. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, everybody. Part of the Acast Creator Network. Been a pleasure. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Vatushan Hantaraj.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.